Today's Shir Masechta Sanhedrin Davov. We will begin on Davov Amen Aleph, the end of the third line, Gufa. Gufa says the Gemara Amar Avua, Shnaim Shadonu Dinim Omenes. If you have two Dayanim for the entire that involves monetary issues, the Aloch is Livri HaKol Ein Dinim Din. Everybody will agree that this is not a valid entire. Eser Babel Rav Avua, Donas Adin. We're going to learn a Mishnah that says that if a Dayan paskind a din Torah, Vazikas a Chayiv, and he said that the person who is really guilty is innocent, or Vachayiv is a Zakai, he said the person who's innocent is really guilty. Timei is a Tahar, he said something that's Tahar is Tomei. Tiher is a Tomei, or he said something which is Tomei is Tahar. And like Tosfos explains, the situation of Tihar as a Tomei is that something is really Tomei. The Dayan paskind that it's Tahar, and then he mixed it up with other Tahar items, but not to the level of Bittul, where it would be nullified. So now, everything became Tomei. The halach is, Masha Asa Asui, the Psak stands, Mishal Mabesai. But he has to reimburse the party that was wronged. Now, if the halacha is that a dayan of a psak of one person is invalid, so why does this Mishnah say that the psak stands? One person is not a valid psak. So there are a number of points to be made. One question that the Rishonim ask, it's done as a din, one person. So the question is, why is the Gemara asking, why is the Gemara asking a question? Only on Rav Avua said, Shnaim Shadonu, two people that paskin it's not, you need three. And here it says that even one is good. We learned yesterday that Shmuel said, Shnaim Shadonu, the name din, El Shnikra Bezdin Chatzuf. So the same question could be asked in Shmuel. So Tosfos answers, when Shmuel said yesterday that Shnaim Shadonu, the name din, El Shnikra Bezdin Chatzuf, Shmuel wasn't coming to exclude the validity of a psak of one dayan. He was just trying to teach us that when you have even two dayanim, it's called bezin chotzef. But halachically, Shmuel holds that even one dayan is fine. So that's why it's only a kashan or bavua, not a Shmuel. Then the other obvious question is that we learned in the previous year that if the dayan is a mumchal rabbim, then he could pass in a shayla by himself. So why don't we just say that that Mishnah is referring about a dayan who's a mumchal rabbim? Answer the Rishonim, then when we learn the Mishnah, we'll see that the second part of the Mishnah starts discussing what is the halacha of a mumcha. Obviously, the first part of the Mishnah is not referring to mumcha, because if the first part of the Mishnah is talking about a mumcha, what do I need? Then the second part doesn't make any sense. Furthermore, the Paiskim use this Mishnah to discuss a very fundamental concept. It's a concept that we all think about when we learn the Masechta Sanhedrin. One of the bases of the secular legal system that we live in is that there's a system of appeals. That if you don't like, if you're dissatisfied with the verdict, you have ability to appeal the verdict. What about in halacha? Is there a system of appeals? The Mishnah that we're quoting now is a raya that there is no system of appeals. Because if there were a system of appeals, why is the Mishnah saying that Donas Adin? And I paskin them correctly. Now I'm going to be responsible. Why should I be responsible? You have a right to appeal. The fact that the Mishnah says that I am responsible is because you have no right to appeal. As here, from here, this is one of the rayas that in Jewish law there is no system of appeals. So again, the question is, according to Ravua, why is the psak of one dying a psak? Ravua holds that one dying is not able to paskin. Answers the Gemara, Hachem Maiskinen. This Mishnah is referring to a situation, the Kiblu Alayu. The both litigants accepted the psak of one dayan. Ask the Gemara, if it's referring to such a circumstance, Hachem Maiskinen Mabesai, why should he be held responsible? They accepted that whatever he passed them, they'll follow. Answers the Gemara, the Amrulei Dayant Le Dintayu. Yes, they accepted his psak, but they added, and the Machlokes had to learn what they said. Rashi seems to learn, but they said when they accepted Psak, we accept your Psak only if you followed in Torah. And when he didn't follow in Torah, you will be responsible. Marshall says they don't have to say it. It's self-understood that that's what they meant. We're accepting your Psak if you're going to follow in Torah. But if not, you will be held responsible. Amalei Reb Safler Baba. So now the Gemara continues to drill down in understanding that case. The Tabamai, what kind of mistake was made? Elam the Tabadva Mishnah, if we're going to say that he made a mistake that against an open Mishnah, paskin differently than an open Mishnah, ask the Gemara of Amar Rav Sheshis, Amar Rav Ami, and we're going to learn this Gemara, Tabadva Mishnah, if the Dai made a mistake that he paskined contrary to an open Mishnah, Chayzer, then the whole Din Torah is invalidated, it's voided, and we start again. So why would he be held responsible? Says the Gemara, he made a mistake regarding Shikla Das. Ask the Gemara immediately, Heichi Domi B'Shikla Das, what does the mistake of Shikla Das mean? Says the Gemara, Amra Papa, Kigon Trei Tanoi V'Trei Meroi, you have two Tanoi V'Trei Meroim, the Pligi Hadodi, that have a dispute, the halacha is not explicitly decided like either opinion. However, the sugyan da alma libet chadmenayu, most people follow one of those opinions. The ozel iuv ove kiidach, and he paskin like the non-accepted opinion. Hainu shikoladas. That is considered a mistake of shikoladas that under these circumstances he would be held responsible. Machlokes rishonim. What does shikoladas mean? Some rishonim suggest that shikoladas means that there's a machloikus in the Gemara. The Gemara, where many times it says v'hilchasa, doesn't use the word v'hilchasa, but we know that that's the halacha, and he paskin like the opinion that we know is not the halacha. The Rambam has a different pshat. The Rambam says pshat is that tos b'shikla das is that the minhag ha'olam, the customs, everybody follows a certain opinion, and he paskined like the opinion that is not the custom. And again, the Sharm Tzion Balacha says from here we see the power of a minig. Another pshat that I saw from the Rajba, very interesting pshat. The Rajba says like this, sometimes, as I said a moment ago, there's a machloikus in the Gemara, machloikus tanoim, machloikus amaroim, and the Gemara doesn't explicitly say that the halacha is like either opinion. However, the Gemara does analyze one opinion and sort of ignores the other opinion. The opinion that the Gemara analyzes is probably the halacha, because that's why the Gemara is trying to understand it, and it's ignoring the other opinion because the halacha doesn't follow that opinion. So we have such a situation where it's clear that the Gemara is focused on one opinion because that must be the halacha, and now this Dayan Paskin, like the other opinion, it's a proof, that's a situation of Shikla Das. Now we have a further machlaikus. The Gemara is saying that if the Dayan made a mistake of Shikla Das, he's going to have to pay from his own pocket. So certainly, if there's a situation where there's a Din Torah between two sides, and the Dayan paskin incorrectly with Shikla Das, and therefore the party went and paid, I went and paid you, I shouldn't have, so now the Dayan has to reimburse me. But what would be the halacha? The Dayan gave the erroneous psak, but before said I have to pay you where I really don't, but before I actually paid you, he realized it was a mistake of Shikla Das. Will the halacha be that we just stop the whole Torah, and I won't pay you, and he won't have to pay me? Or will the halacha be that once the psak is there, since it's only a psak of Shikla Das, I will have to pay you? And now he'll have to reimburse me. That's a machlokes apaiskim. Continues the Gemara. Lema ketanoi. So suggests the Gemara, this question that we've been discussing, about what is the minimum amount of dayanim, suggests the Gemara is actually machlokes tanoim. Because now we begin learning, Be'ezra Hashem, the sugya of pshara, the sugya of compromise. And the Braisa says, bitzua b'shloisha, you need to have a three-member court to effect a pshara. Divrei Remeya. The chamayim, chamho pshara b'yachid. A pshara could be affected by a one-man court. So there's an obvious question when we read this Braisa. Remeya and the Chacham are both talking about a compromise. They're talking about the exact same subject, but they don't use the same word. Remeya calls it a bitzua, And Rav Chacham called it a Pshara. Why don't they call it the same name? So as we're going to see in today's shir and tomorrow's shir, there's a whole machlokes tanoim, is a compromise preferable or not preferable? And that is part, explained the Rishonim, the Yad Ramat says this, that is part of the machlokes of Ramei and the Chachamim. Ramei's opinion is that pshara, compromise, is not preferable. And that's why he calls it Bitsua. Whereas the Chachamim hold that not only is compromise an option, it's actually the preferable option, and so that's why they call it a pshar. What do I mean? Now, what do they mean? Bitsua, what does the word bitsua mean? Where do we find the word bitsua? We find bitsua in halacha bitsias apas, to take off a piece of bread. Ramea's attitude towards a pshara is that somebody's being wronged. Let's say I was supposed to win the dentira, but the pshara, the compromise says that I'm going to have to give you or let you keep some money that's really mine. Something of mine is being taken away from me. That's called bitsua. It's being sliced away from me. The Chacham, on the other hand, called Bishar. What does Bishar mean? Bishar means poishrim. You take hot water, you make it lukewarm. There's nothing wrong with that. And that's why Remeyu, who holds that bitsua is not preferable, calls it compromise, not preferable, calls it bitsua. The Chacham, on the other hand, called Bishar because to them it's perfectly fine. Sisavruah. So how does this machloikas have to do with what we're discussing? Says the Gemara, Savru l'kal alma, they assume that everybody is of the opinion that makshinim pshara l'din. That whatever the halacha is by pshara, that will be the halacha by adin taira. And therefore, my lab, what is the machloikas between Ramei and Chachamim? The mass suffer. Ramei's opinion is din b'shloisha. Adin taira requires three dayanim. And just like a detail requires three dayanim, so does a pshara. Or ma'asavah, whereas the chacham hold, bishnayim, that a detail, two dayanim is enough, or even one dayan is enough, and so too will be the din by pshara. Says Mar Loi. That's not the way necessarily to explain that machlaikas. Because it could well be the kulei al-medun b'shloisha. Everybody agrees that a detail is with three dayanim. For hacha, yet what is the machlokes here? Balkamufki. The mass of her, makshin pshara l'din, remains of the opinion that the entire requires three dayanim, and we compare pshara to the din, that just like pshara din requires three dayanim, so does pshara. Or mass of her, whereas the chacham hold, that even though the entire requires three dayanim, like makshin pshara l'din, the entire requires three dayanim, but pshara will not. Says the Gemara, Lema, perhaps we should suggest that Tlosa Tanoi B'Pshara, the three opinions about how a compromise is conducted. The Mas Sava B'Shloisha, one opinion is you need to have three Dayanim, and Tosfos points out a very interesting psak. Tosfos says that as we've learned and will continue learning, when you have a Dentai with three Dayanim, so how is the verdict reached? We follow the majority. If two people vote for conviction or acquittal, that's the psak. Says Tosfos, that's only regarding a dentira. When it comes to pshara, everybody agrees that all three dayanim have to agree. Umasava b'shnayim. The next opinion is that two dayanim are adequate. Umasava, and the third opinion is b'yachid, that even one dayan is enough. Amar of Acha, b'reider of Ika, b'tamer of Yaima b'salmia, man da amitrei, the opinion that says that you need to have two dayanim to affect the compromise, really holds that a fil chad nami, that one dayan is really adequate. Aye, for hodu kami trei, why do you say you should have two dayanim? Ke'echad al-hevel esadi, in order that there should be witnesses to the compromise. Machloikas rishaynim, to what are the witnesses testifying? Are they testifying to the fact that they saw that both parties agree to accept the compromise? Or are they testifying that this was the compromise? I asked the Mefarshim, the Gemara says in Masechta Gittin, that a dayan could testify on his own what the verdict was. So why can't you just have one person testifying what was the compromise? So the answer is, the din that a dayan could testify what the verdict is only at the end of the entire. He can't testify on his own afterwards. The same too, we want to have Adam available to say this is what compromise the Dayanim reached. Amar Vashi, Shmamina, from our Gemara, we see Pshara and Tzrich Kinyan, that if the two parties agree to accept the compromise, they don't have to make a Kinyan to accept that compromise. If we're going to suggest that the two parties, this is actually the minig, our custom, before they begin a din Torah, make a Kinyan that they will accept the arbitration of Bezdin, ask the Gemara, Laman Dama Tzricha Tlosa, according to the opinion that says you need three Dayanim, why do you need three Dayanim? Lomali, Tizge betray, it should be adequate that we should have two Dayanim, Velikliminei, and the fact that the two parties made a Kinyan should be enough, says the Gemara, but that's not true. Vilchasa, even if we hold that you need three Dayanim, still Pshar Tzricha Kinyan, a Kinyan has to be made. Why does a Kinyan have to be made? Because that shows that they're serious about this agreement to accept a pshara. Why taka? Explained the Rebbeinu Yoina. If the both parties accepted a kinyan, why do you need three dayanim? So says the Rebbeinu Yoina, that pshara and din are not identical. Like I said a moment ago, pshara you have to have all the dayanim agree. By din you don't have to have all the dayanim agree. Similarly, pshara is not as strong as din, and therefore even if both parties are willing to accept the pshara, this opinion says they still need, since it's a pshara, not a din, you need three minds, three people to get together. Now here we have a very big machloikus. The Gemara says, and that's the halacha, as I said, that you need to have a kinyan, that by both parties have to make a kinyan to accept the pshara. The question is, at what point does a kinyan have to be made? Some rishonim suggest, and that's the minig, that before the entire begins, that's when the kinyan is made. Others say that the kinyan is made after the verdict. And some Rishonim want to suggest that this machloikus really would be the basis for another machloikus. Who has to make a kinyan? So if you say that the kinyan is made before the dentira commences, so both litigants have to make a kinyan that they're going to accept the compromise, they're going to accept the arbitration. But if we say that the kinyan is after the verdict to accept the verdict, then maybe only the nitfa, who's going to be giving up something, either paying or not paying as much as he would have wanted to or less, he's the one that's going to have to make the kinyan, the other one not. However, there are Rishonim that suggest that whatever opinion we hold, when the kinyan is made, both parties have to make a kinyan. And they explain very nicely. Here we're seeing a very big chiddush, that in order for the compromise to be halachically effective, a kinyan is required. Now the question that comes up is, if you owe me money, and I'm a nice guy, I'm Michael, I forgive you the debt, do we have to make a kinyan? The halacha is a kinyan is not required. So why over here is a kinyan required? The answer is, you can't compare a situation where I on my own volition come and forgive you the money that you owe me versus when it was legislated through an arbitration. And therefore, since an arbitration, a compromise, represents a situation that I didn't come up with this compromise, to give it the validity, both parties have to make a kinyan. Tana Rabbanan, says the Gemara, it says in a Braisa, Shem Shadim B'Shloisha, just as the entire is conducted with three Dayanim, Kach B'Tzur B'Shloisha, so too is a compromise conducted with three Dayanim. Nigmar Adin, once the entire is completed, the halacha is yet a Rishayil of Tzoya, it's too late to make compromise. So Rishayim, many interesting shayils from the Rishayim. First question is, if the dintayra is over, why would we want to make a compromise? It's over. So I saw two answers to that question. One answer is, the Bezdin is concerned that maybe their psak is an incorrect psak. And therefore they say, even though we paskin, we'd like to make a compromise to be safe. The halacha is, it's too late. Another pshat is that one of the litigants is a gavra alim, is a strong person, and Bezdin doesn't want to irritate him, so they say, let's make a compromise. And the Gemara is saying, it's too late. What point is too late? Here too we have a machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. Some Rishonim say, nigmar adin means that the verdict has been declared. But if the verdict hasn't been declared, even though Bezdin already knows what they're going to say, a compromise can still be suggested. Other Rishonim suggest that no, Tosfos' opinion, is as soon as Bezdin knows what they're going to paskin, what they're going to say, even though they haven't officially said it, now it's too late for compromise. However, the Rishonim say, let's say the psak will involve that one of the part, we have a psak, and even if the psak was already declared, but the psak involves that one of the parties is going to have to make a shvua. There the halach is that the beznik could still suggest a compromise to avoid making a shvua, which we know the halach is always trying to avoid making a shvua. Furthermore, say the paiskim, that even if beznik reached the verdict, so certainly if an outside party goes over to these parties and says, yes, beznik has reached the verdict, but why don't you try to make a compromise and settle? He's certainly allowed to. And Rishonim goes a step further. This is halacha, psak, that let's say Beis Din reached the verdict. And they tell the two litigants, we have reached the verdict. But you know what? Shalom, peace is a commendable thing. So even though we've reached the verdict, maybe it's worthwhile that you should settle for the sake of peace? Then certainly that's mutter. So now let us try to reach a pshara without telling the parties where things stand. But if they're honest and tell the parties where things stand, and they still suggest a pshara, that's perfectly fine. Furthermore, the Paiskim suggest that, let's say Beis Din told the two sides that we have psak, we have a verdict. It's still appropriate, and they give the verdict, it's still appropriate that for the sake of peace, that one party should try to settle with the other party, that they shouldn't walk away unhappy. Making a compromise is inappropriate. The Kolob is saying whoever does make a compromise, Hareza Chayta, is doing a sin. The Kolah Mevarchs B'tzeya, anyone who praises somebody who makes compromises, Hareza Menatz, it's as if he's cursing Hashem. B'zeh Nemar B'tzeya Beirech, if you bless a compromiser, Nietz Hashem. Ella, the halacha is, Yikov hadin asahar. The din should prevail. Shnemar kemishpat lalakim hu. We have to follow din. Who is the har? There's so many pshatim. One pshat is that the har represents the din. Din is tough. There's no room for compromise. Another pshat is that the har represents the Torah. The Torah tells us to follow din in all circumstances. The Kenu Moshe Hayomer, and so too Moshe Rabbeinu said, Yikov HaDin HaSahar, Moshe Rabbeinu always followed the letter of the law. Aval Aaron had a different characteristic. Oyev Shalom, Veroyev Shalom, and Ois Umesim Shalom ben Adam L'Chaveroi. Shnemar, Torus Emes Hois B'Fiu, V'Avlo Lo'Nimtz B'Sfosov, V'Sholom V'Mesha Holach Iti, V'Rabim Heishimi Ovim. So the Mashal explains as follows. He says, when somebody makes compromise, he accomplishes three things. First of all, it's between him and Shemayim. Because if you pass incorrectly, you're doing an Aveira. But by making compromise, so you can't be passing incorrectly. You make peace amongst the Yonim. Because if we have a Din Torah, and now as I spoke about earlier, we have a vote amongst the judges, and not everybody agrees, there could be animosity. But if we all agree, as I said earlier, to a compromise, we're all going to get along. And furthermore, there's peace between the litigants because nobody won and nobody lost. That's the Mashal's pshat. So how does Rabbi Yosef Glili, Rabbi Elazar ben Yosef, Rabbi Yosef Glili deal with Aaron? The Hidden Gemara says that Aaron was a peacemaker, made compromises. He disapproves of peace. He disapproves of compromise. So two answers to that question. Tosfos answers that Aaron was not a dayan. Where is there halacha that compromise is to be frowned upon? A dayan, a judge is supposed to paskin with din, not with compromise. But Aaron wasn't a dayan. Moshe Rabbeinu was a dayan. That's Tosfos' teretz. Another teretz is as follows. Even Rabbi Elazar ben Yosef Glili, who prefers din over compromise, is referring to a situation where they've already come to din Torah. They're already sitting at the Din Torah, at the Beis Din. Then he says, it's not time for compromise. It's time for Din Torah. What does the Gemara say about Aaron? Roidev Shalom. Before they got to Beis Din, because you're right, once you get to Beis Din, it's too late for Pshara. Before they got to Beis Din, he says, well, why don't we settle out of court and not get to court. Furthermore, Mefarshim say, we know Rashi says this in Chumash, Raidev Shalom. Sometimes he did things that look like Radifa. He says, sometimes people are stubborn in their opinion. So the way he was able to get the two parties to compromise, he would go to the other party and say, yeah, the other guy, he's a Raidev, he's a terrible person. And you don't want to go to the entire with that person. And that's what he said to the other person. So he's calling him a Raidev. It's a terrible thing to call a person a Raidev. But for the purpose of Shalom, Aaron HaKohen did it. Continues the Gemara. Rav Elazar Amar, Rav Elazar, again, is a person who is a proponent of Pshara. But if he's a proponent of Pshara, then what does he say is Pshat in the Pasuk? Or Beitzeya Beirich Nia Tashem? He says the Pasuk is talking about a different situation altogether. Harei Shagazal Sar Shalchitim. If somebody stole some flour, V'tachna wheat, V'tachna he grinds it for offer, and he baked it. And then V'hifrish M'men Achala, and then he takes off from Achala, and now he's going to make a bracha. Keitza Mavarech, Einza Mavarech, El Menatz. That's not called a bracha, it's called a klola. V'zeh Nemar, V'beitzeya Beirich Nia Tashem. So Rishonim firstly asked, the point is that he stole, and now he takes the stolen goods and he wants to do a mitzvah with it. So why do we have to go through that he ground it and baked it? The point is that he made dough. So there are two answers. One answer is, certain foods, certain baked goods are not chayiv mechal until they're baked. Something that's a bli l'raka, a loose batter. That's why you have to have offer. Another teretz is to teach us, even though it underwent so much change, you started with grain, and now you turn it into flour, and now you turn it into dough, and now you turn it into bread, so went through so much change, still taking off and making a bracha on such a situation is considered Beitzeya Beirich Neitz Hashem. Now an obvious question comes up. What is the halacha l'maisa? What is the halacha if somebody did this? He stole, and he takes that bread, and he stole raw material, and he made it into a bread. When he takes off chal, does he make a bracha? When he eats it, does he make a bracha or not? So certainly, let's speak about a situation that everybody agrees. Certainly if there was a shinui, a significant change, where I started with grain and I ended up with bread, coupled with yiush, where the owners gave up hope of getting these ingredients back, so everybody would agree that a bracha is in place. The question here, because with all of those circumstances, it becomes the property of the ganef. Again, I'm not condoning it, but I'm talking halacha. The question that comes up is a situation where there was no yish, or there wasn't such a significant shinui. Is a bracha required, or is a bracha made or not? And there are so many different opinions in the Paiskim. Some Paiskim suggest that the bracha hanenin, hamaitzi, and eating bread, hamaitzi lechem v'aretz, always has to be made. Because you're not allowed to eat food without a bracha hanenin. Whereas the bracha of afroshes chala, which is a bracha of brachas hamitzvahs, a mitzvah haba ba'aveira, is not a mitzvah. That's pretty much the accepted view in halacha. However, I did see opinions that say just the opposite. You can't make a brich sanenen something that's not yours. A brich san mitzvah you can make, because you're doing the mitzvah, even though it's not being done as it should be done. It is mitzvah b'aveira, you stole. Aye, mitzvah b'aveira, the aveira has nothing to do with the mitzvah. Continues the Gemara. Ramei Omer. Ramei says it's referring to a different situation. L'nema b'tzeya, when the Pasuk says b'tzeya berich nitz Hashem, again, because Ramei is a proponent of compromise, so he has to find another way of explaining this pasuk. As we're talking about Yehuda. Shnema, Yoyme Yehuda al Echav. Yehuda said to his brothers, we know the story where he suggested that Yosef should be sold instead of killed. Ma betza kinarag esachinu. What will we gain from killing Yosef? The call of Varachas Yehuda, whoever benches Yehuda, blesses Yehuda for what he did. V'kol v'varachas Yehuda, ha'reza menatz. V'zeh emar, v'tzeya beirech, Nietz Hashem. The Meshech Chochmah has a beautiful explanation. He says, we know, Rashi and Chumash says this, that when the decision of what to do with Yosef was taking place, Reuven wasn't there. So how many people were there? There were actually, he says, 9 people. The 4 Shvatim, who would have been Bilhah, B'nai Zilpah, and 5 of Leah's children. Reuven, I said, wasn't there. Yosef didn't have a vote. And Binyamin wasn't there. So we had 9 people, 5 of Leah's children, and 4 of the B'nai Bilhah, B'nai Zilpah. Certainly, says the Meshech Chochmah, we know that Yosef was very close with the B'nai Bilhah, B'nai Zilpah, and they didn't vote that that anything should be done to Yosef. The 4 children of Leah voted that he should be killed. And who was the tiebreaker? Yehuda. So Yehuda, says the Meshech Chochmah, had the opportunity to do something right. And he didn't take that opportunity. That's why it's called Betzei Berech Nitz Hashem. As Tosfos, we know that Yaakov Avinu says to Yehuda, B'teref B'ni Olisa. The pasuk Yaakov Avinu is praising Yehuda. And here we see that he doesn't deserve any praise. So Tosfos says that when Yaakov Avinu said B'teref B'ni Olisa, he didn't mean this. What he meant was the way Yehuda acted with the situation with Tamar, that he was prepared to admit what he did. But this he deserves to be condemned, not praised. I also forgot to mention that there's a minig, particularly in Chassidish communities, that when one washes Netilas Yadayim, they say before the bracha, Su Yadechem Kodesh Uvarchu Hashem. Question is, where does that minig come from? The Farshim says it's connected to the previous Gemara. Gemara here says that you have to be careful that when you're going to make a bracha on food, that the food should be yours. It shouldn't be stolen food. So I say, Su Yadechem Kodesh, I lift up my hands. My hands are clean. Chas v'sholom, I didn't steal anything. And after Su Yadechem Kodesh, that my hands are clean, Chas v'sholom, I didn't do any stealing, Uvarchus Hashem, then it's appropriate to make a bracha. Rav Shua, Ben Karchaimer, Mitzvah L'tzoya. His opinion is that compromise actually is a mitzvah. Shnema Emes U'mishpat, Shalom Shiftu B'shareichem. So the pasuk is a difficult pasuk. Falai B'makom Sheish Mishpat, and shalom. If there's judgment, there's no peace. Judgment is tough, like we learned on top of Amid. Or makom shei shalom, ei mishpat. Ela ezu mishpat sheyesh b'shalom. What type of a verdict has elements of mishpat and shalom? Havayim ezeh b'tzua. Interesting fact that I saw from the Shas of Tshuva, Tshuva Mahava. According to this opinion, and the other opinions that we've learned, compromise is to be recommended. It's preferable. However, it says the Tshuva Mahava as follows. Let's say you and I have a din Torah. And I agree, and you agree, to do a compromise. And according to the compromise, I may end up paying you less than you really deserve. Let's say you're claiming $1,000. And the easy compromise is given $500. You agreeing to a compromise, very commendable. But it's maybe not so commendable. Because let's say you owe somebody else money, and you have no other funds. So if I'm going to give you $1,000, you'll have $1,000 to pay up your debt. But if I only give you $500, the people you owe money won't be able to get the money they're owed. Says the Shas of Tshuva, Tshuva Mahava, when do we praise compromise? When you're going to suffer for the compromise. But to agree to compromise on the cheshbon, on the back of someone else, that isn't commendable. Says the Gemara, V'kein b'David o'im, the pasuk says regarding David HaMelech, V'hi David oisit mishpat tztaka. Again, the same question. V'hoi kamokum sheish mishpat ein tztaka, v'tztaka mishpat. How do we reconcile this? El eizu mishpat sheish b'ein tztaka, have a oimer, zeh b'tzua. Compromise. And also Tanakama, and this follows the opinion of Tanakama, with Don as a din, v'zika as a zakai, Chayev is a chayev. V'rosh n'schayev omen. So this goes to Tanakama. V'rosh n'schayev onim omen. V'shin loy mitach beisoy. This opinion is explaining how we could understand that pasuk if we don't follow compromise. Zeh mishpat tztaka. Mishpat l'zeh, mitzdak l'zeh. Mishpat l'zeh, shechs l'imamin. Mishpat that the person who gets back the money he deserves. Mitzdak l'zeh, and tzedak for this person, sheshim l'imitech beisai, that David HaMelech paid up the debt instead of the oni, who doesn't have the ability to pay, should have to take the money out from his own pocket. Says the Gemara, how could we say that that's pshat in the pasuk? Again, how could we say that that's pshat in the pasuk? That the pasuk is saying that what David HaMelech's greatness was, that he paid out of his own pocket, where he saw that the person who's going to lose the din Torah couldn't afford to. The pasuk says, Koshle l'rebi, ha'ilchol amoy. It says that David did this by everybody. He didn't do this by everybody. He only did this, l'nimi b'ayli. He only did this when the person couldn't afford to pay himself. So why is the pasuk saying, l'chol amoy? Ella, how do we explain the pasuk? Abishle shilim toich beisoy. Even if David HaMelech didn't pay, there was a din Torah and David HaMelech did not pay, it's still considered mishpat of tzedakah. Mishpat l'zeh, tzedakah l'zeh. Mishpat l'zeh shechs l'mimonai. It's mishpat that the person gets the money that's his. But tzedakah l'zeh, shahayitzik zeh l'mitachas yadai. It's considered tzedakah because the person, nobody wants to have money that they don't that doesn't belong to them. And as the Mefarshim explained, the Ian Yaakov explains, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he created the world, his original intent was to create the world with din, midas adin. And that's really the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants the world to be. And therefore, the Pasuk praises David, that he did that. But the question now is, the Pasuk is singling out David. Why are we singling out David? Anybody that judges properly, what's so special about David? So Mefarshim explained, what the Pasuk means to say is, that because David acted so properly in his Dinei Torah, that's why when Yoav went out to war, Yoav his general, he was successful. If you have a king at home who's acting properly, then your generals, when they go out to war, will be successful. Furthermore, the Mefarshim explained, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants everything to be right. So if the Dayan does his job properly, so the Dayan doesn't cause HaKadosh Baruch Hu to bother Kaviyachol of correcting anything wrong. But let's say the Dayan paskins incorrectly, and that person got money that he doesn't deserve. Or he didn't get the money he does deserve. So now HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to have to change the order of the world, so to speak, to correct that. The Dayan who paskins properly saves HaKadosh Baruch Hu from that kaviyachol bother. That's why he deserves to be commended. Reb Shimon ben Asya Amar, Shtayim Shebalu Fnech L'Din. If you have two litigants coming to Din Torah, Achloi Tishma Devarim, until you hear their case, I'm Shetisha Devarim, or even if you already heard their claims, V'yat Yudei L'Heichad D'Naita, but you don't yet know how to paskin, at the Rishoy L'Tzalimahen, you may tell them Tzu V'Tzu, make a compromise. However, Mishetishma Devarim, once you hear their claims, and V'yat Yudei L'Heichad D'Naita, and you know what the Psak be, at the Rishoy L'Heichad Tzu V'Tzu, now it's too late. Shnemar, Paita Mayim Reishis Midoim, Ufnei Hizgala Hariv Natoish. Koidim Shnizgala Riv, before all the claims have been made, Ati Yochel and Toichoi, you could try to avoid paskening by offering a compromise. However, Mishnizgala Riv, once the claims have been mentioned and declared, and you know what the din should be, it's too late, Yati Yochel and Toichoi. Rishlokish Amar, Shnaim Shaboil Adin. If you have two people coming to Din Torah, Achad Rash, Achad Rach, Achad Kasha, one person is a soft person, and one person is a tough person, Achloi Tishma Devarim, until you hear the claims, Oy Misha Tishma Devarim, Yat Yidei Aleichem Denoita, or you heard, but you don't know which way it goes, Atu Rishayim Loimelhem, you may say to them, Enei Niskakelchem. A person is not obligated to get involved in every Din Torah. Shem Nischayiv Nechazuk, because you need to be careful that maybe this strong person will prevail, will lose the Din Torah, and now you have to be concerned what he will do from you. However, once you hear what they say, and you already know how to paskin, it's too late, and you have to say the psak. Now he can no longer say, I don't want to get involved. You can't fear anybody. And I saw a fascinating psak from Rav Zilberstein based on this Gemara. He says as follows. He says, let's say you have a Maggid Shir. And a Maggid Shir has to size up his audience. And the Maggid Shir is giving a Shir in whatever subject. And he knows that he's going to say a psak that won't be popular. He's going to say something that won't go over well with his audience. Either because he's doing too machmer or because he's being too makel. He says, included in the laugh of Loi Segur Pnayish is a laugh to a Maggid Shir to say, you know what, this won't go over well with my audience, I'm going to avoid saying it. Maggid Shir has the obligation that if he's learning a sugya, halacha, gemara, he has to say everything, and he's not supposed to look for popularity. Continues the gemara. How do you know that there's a Talmud sitting there? And he sees that the poor person is going to, should have a claim for victory. And he sees that the entire isn't going that way. And as the Mashal explains, the Talmud has every reason to be quiet. First of all, he has to show respect to his Rebbe. Second of all, he's scared of the wealthy person. Third of all, he's not even a dayan here. So he has many excuses why just to not mix in. Still, like Seguri, he has to say what he knows. Who is saying testimony? The entire takes place in the presence of God. And similarly, the dayanim. Recognize the repercussions of your actions. You're not judging human beings. It's Kil Hashem. Shem Yomer Dayan. So the Dayan is going to see and hear all of this. He may say, Mali B'tzara Zah. Why do I want to get involved? It's only going to cause me aggravation. Tamaloymer, imchem b'mishpat. Ein loy l'dayin el mash en avroyos. A dayin has to follow what he sees. However, the Paiskim say, ein loy l'dayin el shemash en avroyos teaches us a very important lesson. A dayin has to go with what he sees. Meaning, let's say I'm a dayin, and there's testimony given to me, and I hear the testimony, and based on the testimony, it's obvious. But I see there's something wrong here. So I'm not allowed to take the attitude, listen, two Edom came in and said that Reuven owes Shimon money, what do I have to know more? No, it's a Dayan's obligation to try to get to the truth, he has to keep his eyes open. Ask the Gemara, Heichi Dami Gemar Din, how is a verdict given? Amar Yudah Marav, Ish Ploni At Chayiv, saying explicitly, you are Chayiv, Ish Tani At Zakei, you are innocent, and you don't have to pay. Thank you.